Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 10. It's been quite some time. We tend to take very long extended breaks in between episodes, but we are back, and Andrew, my partner in crime here, has named this episode Prototypes in Pizza, because any second now we shall get a knock at the door, and we got some pizza coming from Pitfire Pizza.
And prototypes are here on the table.
Actually, they're not on the table. They're on you got one on your wrist.
Yeah.
And technically speaking, they're in the building. They're here. We finally got them.
It took us 10 episodes and 3 months between each episode, but yeah. They're here. They look good. I'm happy.
Yeah, definitely. For me, I think probably 200% better than I thought they were going to come out.
Yeah, which is very good, obviously, for a first prototype, especially since we didn't have any physical sampling in between of the casing, the coloring, straps, materials, textures. It was all on WhatsApp, email, and so forth. So yeah,
that's right. I mean, we did this remotely with our manufacturer. We sent him the designs. We sent him samples, visual samples. We never received any physical samples until the prototypes arrived. Yeah. So for the past couple of weeks, we've been wearing them, testing them out.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, that a lot of people, you know, have gone into new jobs, never met their colleagues, everything is done online, digital. And this is also how we created this prototype. It was fully online.
Virtual.
Virtual, yeah. So, and now you have this tangible thing here in your hand. I'm holding it right now, and I was very surprised to see how close it was to the visuals, 3Ds, and the drawings that we've made. You know, there can be a discrepancy in terms of, you know, spacing, finishing, the way that, you know, the light reflects on it. There are loads of things that can be different, but it's actually very close. Actually, it is exactly as
it's as close to the 3D renders that that Bart made.
Yeah.
That you know, it's as close to that as I imagined it can get. Actually, it surpassed it a little bit. I mean, if we took professional pictures of them and you kind of put them side by side, I think they'd be very, very close.
Yeah, but still we're not happy.
No. But that's the process. I think we the last session we had to kind of go over everything, we had about possibly 15 to 20 points that we made, points of improvement. And personally, I think if we make those improvements, I think we have a product that's ready to sell, ready to showcase, ready to put out there in the world.
Yeah. I'm relatively happy with how this came out. Obviously, this is how we designed it. But using it in terms of wearability and how you test it now, there are things that you notice that we designed in a way that obviously it's been produced in that same way, but in practicality just turn out to be a little bit different, or you imagine working it a bit different. So design came out 100% as expected, but now doing real life or real world testing, there are a couple of things that we obviously want to improve on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, probably more so on the functional side than the aesthetic side. But the aesthetics do need a little bit of revamp, a little bit of upgrading here and there.
Yeah, I think that what we said basically during our recap is we divided it up into major feedback silos. One is the audio side, like how does it, like what are the non-tangible things, like how does it sound like? So for instance, the rattling of the movement in the casing is something that we want to mitigate, or want basically make sure it doesn't do that anymore. But also like the ticking, like it's very loud, it's even distracting at times. So these are things that are like, it's nothing to do with the design, it's more. And the weight is another element, you know, how does it feel in terms of weight? Does it feel solid? We had feedback from someone who hold our watch and said, like, I like it feels heavy. It gives you the quality perception or the perception of quality. And I think that is obviously something that, you know, it's nothing to do with design on paper, but something that you can only see, feel, hear. It's more of the sensorial experience of the watch, the texture, the sound, the weight, you know, it gives you a certain impression.
I think some of that could have been mitigated by us being physically present with our manufacturer, but due to the restrictions of travel and that was impossible. But you know, I mean, aside from kind of, you know, jumping right into the process and R&D, which we enjoy, I want to give us like a pat on the back for actually having created it, because both of us, as mentioned, do not have a watchmaking or watch design background,
no,
or experience. Don't. We're just two entrepreneurs who love, you know, watches and want to create really, you know, quality products in our own style, and we believe in the vision. So, you know, as an entrepreneur, I think that's pretty cool to take an idea and bring it to life. Now, granted, it's me, you, and about a handful of people who've seen the watch, but that's, you know, that's the you know, point that we're at. But I think it's pretty cool, man. Toast.
It is cool.
Cheers.
Toast. Cheers.
We did it 2 years. Well, we said a year and a half.
A year and a half.
Yeah, to be fair, a year and a half, probably even like 14 months.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we've done on the side. It's a passion project, or it became a passion project. And I think now I'm wearing it on my wrist. It's definitely incentivized us to speed up the process, because having it in hand and seeing that you've actually, like, over the year and a half, like, the people who listen to other podcasts kind of know, like, the struggles that we had. And now seeing it materialize in this way is actually really fun. It's also, like, a big, how do you say it? Like it's payoff, as in, like, for the work that we've put into it. And, you know, if this was actual product that we retailed, I think, well, we wouldn't be happy with it, but it would definitely not be a shame to.
No, I wouldn't be entirely like embarrassed to put this out as it is right now. I think, you know, humbly speaking, you know, the watch industry, there's a wide range of quality. And on that scale, I don't think this version would fail miserably. I think it's a great, great watch as it is. But I think we're kind of both a little bit, you know, expecting more and wanting more and wanting to live up to the name Pure Song.
Yeah.
And so these additions, these upgrades, it's going to take it to that next level. So I think the other thing to discuss is, you know, we got four versions of them. We got different dials. We're going to go back and test out different dial styles and colors, and then ultimately we're gonna shortlist, you know, the first lineup of these watches.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna hopefully proceed to market them, right? To put them out there. But you know, there's a bit more work to do. We have packaging we need to work on still.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the whole sampling of the colors, the colorways, the straps. You know, you're trying to imagine what other people would think of it. I mean, that's, you know, today's day and age, that's what we do. We compare, we look at what other people are doing, and you're comparing loads of different designs, models, price points, and now we're trying to envision what people would like, what colors would they like. But I think what we've done until now is looked at what do we like, what do we think looks good. So I think that being like a guiding principle throughout this process, we try to establish what do we like, what do we think fits the brand. And that's the reason of creating the brand, because it gives you like some guidance of the visual look and feel.
Yeah, I mean, it's our vision, you know, taking into account that our taste is probably not universal, but at the end of the day, you create things that you believe in, that we believe in. So it has to start there. But I think we did create something that's a bit more timeless. I can see this aging well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely was one of the factors that we tried to consider while designing, is making sure it looks good today, but also it doesn't look outdated in the near future. And I think in one of the previous podcasts we mentioned, we don't want to create something that goes into landfill into a couple of years. So obviously, like, the design, but also materials that we choose and pick, will add to that idea, to that philosophy.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, having that brand established before we actually do the product, and not first the product and then design the brand around it,
mm-hmm.
that really helped us to filter and make choices for the product, you know, what fits this brand.
Right.
Do we go for a cheaper option, which is more trendy, but won't last, for instance, that long? No, probably not. Let's narrow down selection to something that lasts. And I think that's how we make most of the decision when it comes to the materials being used.
Yeah, speaking of materials, I mean, the foundation is obviously the movement, and the movement we went with is a Sellita 200-1. Complication, which is a date complication. We noticed that currently the date is a little bit too small. We need to probably magnify it or make it a little bit more readable. The other components are stainless steel, obviously, for the watch case. We went with sapphire glass, currently in a flat shape for the glass. We went with leather.
Oh, there's the pizza.
Let's just pause this for 1 second. Be right back. And back from our pizza break. The pizza came through. It was pretty damn good.
That was a nice pizza.
Yep. Pitfire Pizza. Shout out to Pitfire. Solid pizza.
Mm.
Where were we? We were actually talking off air about the watch. You wore it around. I've worn it around, and you got some feedback. People asking you where it's from.
So I think what we've done, we've tried to do a bit of like social testing, like real world feedback. So it's kind of fun when you wear the prototype and you see people, their eyes drifting, you know, every now and then to your wrist.
Checking them out.
Also, I position in a way that it's visible.
Right in their eye line. I just boom.
So, but you definitely see that it tracks the eye because it's different. And I do get questions like, hey, where you got it? Where's from? Especially like in like social setting or like during business meetings over the last week or two. And yeah, if people do notice it, which I think is a good thing, and it's subtle enough to you know, carry it visually, as in like it looks solid, it looks well made, and it looks like it's you know, a solid product. So when people ask me about it and we tell them, well, we've designed it, we're planning on launching it, they're actually quite surprised that the product came out that well. I think most of our peers who we told we're going to do this, they were like, all right.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Let's see.
So, including like our closest. And
well, yeah, friends, family, dearest. Colleagues. I mean,
and once they see it, they're like, holy shit.
You guys actually did it.
Yeah.
You followed through.
Yeah.
I think the design also, it's like we said, it's like the aim was to be a mashup between contemporary and modern, contemporary and classic. It's understated, but it does still have its own kind of like unique look to it. You know, I think if also it's recognizability over time, enough people have it, enough people see it, I think you can, you know, kind of stake your claim and say, all right, if someone did see that on your wrist, they'll probably, if they're a watch person, they'll probably know that it's a Pure Song watch. But I think for me, it's about the, not just the design of the product, but how it functions, and its reliability. And we're obviously going to have warranties. We're also, you know, we discussed the idea of getting certified, going through the kind of like governing bodies and having them tested and give us their stamp of approval. I think that's important.
Yeah, I think we're going now into a process that we're going to find out how do you build this product into the brand story, or not so much the brand story, but in the brand visual. How do you start to wrap like the copy around it, the marketing material around it,
the photography,
how are you going to sell this thing? And we believe in the product, and that passion that you know, we reflect when we talk to people about it. How do you capture that into marketing material so people scrolling to our Instagram or getting an ad actually get that feeling like, hey, somebody actually really thought about this? And obviously it's like capturing this process, the thoughts behind it, the philosophy, but also visually making it stand out from the crowd. And, you know, in such a saturated market, it's not easy to stand out of the crowd because there's just so much
there's a lot.
And you know, if you want to do some serious numbers, we have to see, like, go back to day one is why do we do it for anything. Well, I'm pretty sure from day one, like, the feeling, the ambition that we had, so let's do this passion project. And we've done it for ourselves. We designed the watch for ourselves to our own likings. We refined it to our own liking. We built the brand name to our own liking. So there's definitely, like, it's not a mindless product that we just created and just let's do volume and see where it lands.
Yeah.
Or, like, let's market this product that we maybe not believe in, but we think it's sellable. Let us try to sell as much as possible. Where I think where we come from is, well, it's a completely different strategy because we say, let's do limited runs just to make sure that, you know, we can refine it, oversee it, manage the quality assurance, and hopefully people will love it, like it, and be willing to pay money for it. And that, I think, is the ultimate goal, that people enjoy the product as much as you do and are willing to pay for it. And I think then, I think you have a real feeling of, well, it's very satisfying and rewarding, you know? We design restaurants and interiors, at least that's what I currently do. So when people have a great experience, they love the design, they love the experience, you know, it's a rewarding feeling. Even though you as a designer see the snags, see the things that you might not like, but from a customer point of view, there's always a different angle. So I think the challenge will be in the next coming months is we always looked to this product from our own eyes. How do we now look at the product from the consumer eyes and make them see what we see in the product?
Absolutely. And I think if it's two things, I mean, number one, if this was a commercial play and something that we didn't put time and effort into, I think we would have launched this a year and a half ago. I mean, creating products that are not high on quality in this day and age is not that hard to do. But also one thing I do kind of look forward to is what we talked about is once we put this out in the world and hopefully it's embraced, which I believe it will be, I look forward to the day we kind of look around and in random settings, whether you're at an airport somewhere or you're at a restaurant somewhere and you look over and you notice someone's wearing it, from a product creator point of view, I think that's really cool. But I think that's the best validation you can get. You know, you can read reviews online and, you know, every purchase you make is there's a person behind that. But seeing it in real time, I think that's something that I think I look forward to a lot. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is a quality over quantity approach. And over time, with our ability to produce in greater quantities while maintaining quality, you know, we'll address that at that point. But for now, maybe it might even be less than 500,
mm-hmm.
might be 300, might be 200. And I think value can be created for things that are not in, you know, high, you know, circulation. I'm not going to get into it, but I mean, similar to the world of crypto, right? you got some coins with utilities, and you got some that, you know, built on hype and built on a bunch of, you know, house of cards. So we're not in that game. And that goes for every single product, hopefully, that we make in the future. It's going to follow the same approach. And yeah, I'm excited. The next thing I'm really looking forward to is the packaging. And that's, you know, it's another fine line between doing too much and doing too little. There's a ton of kind of cookie cutter options that we can go with. But we also thought maybe we can create something a little bit more unique to the brand. We made a little bit of progress on that. It's some more work to be done.
Yeah, that's definitely an important process. We kind of are undecided on what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. I think one of the major things there, thinking of it now in hindsight, is that we wanted to do it too special or too different. So you kind of like are stuck with nothing because you can't make a decision on. But I think we need to simplify it, just like we did with the watch itself. Come up with something that's straightforward, that makes sense, is sensible from, you know, price point perspective, from unpacking, unboxing experience. It doesn't have to be super complicated. I think we just need to make sure that what we do just works for the product and for our customers. Yeah.
Yep. It sure is exciting, man. It's exciting. Yeah, it sure is. Absolutely. What else do we want to add to this prototypes and pizza podcast? The pizza was great. The prototypes came out really, really good. Next step. This is our 10th episode. All right.
So
what do you think would be the next? Yeah. What do you think would be the next topic?
I think by the 11th, mm-hmm. we're going to have our packaging done.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have our revisions done to the prototype.
Yeah.
And by the 12th, I think our website is done.
Yeah.
By the 13th, we're selling.
So by episode 13, we're putting out a podcast talking about how we're live and selling.
Yeah.
If we look at the timeline.
Interval between podcasts.
Exactly. It's about 8 months. It's about another year, I think. No, I think now, like you said earlier in the podcast, when you see and feel and hold this watch, now the motivation and the momentum is behind us. So I think we have to act on that.
Let's do it.
We got to go back and get these revisions sorted out. And let's get to creating on the packaging side. But I think that's it. I think that's it for me. I think I'm excited about the next step. Those dial revisions, I think I'm most looking forward to. Yeah. Seeing the different types of brushing on the dial, the different colors, the different reflection. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely going to make a difference. I think we can increase aesthetics from where it is now to where we want it to be, at least by like another 20%.
We should probably give our manufacturer a heads up. We've been a little bit quiet since he sent them out. He's probably a little bit nervous, wondering what we thought, if we're ever coming back or not. But we're coming back.
Yeah,
he's a great manufacturer, and he's a great guy to work with. And we're gonna send this over to him. You think by the end of the week?
Absolutely.
Yeah, put it out there in the ether. So that is another episode of the Pure Song podcast wrapped up.
Done.
We will meet back here hopefully sooner rather than later for episode 11. Until then, we will see you guys soon. Stay safe and adios. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's it.
All right, man. See ya.
Bye.